Hello, welcome to episode number 266 of the Apolog Podcast. I am your host, Simon Head. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by AIXDSP.com, affordable and useful plugins for your digital audio workstation, or DAW. My favorite's the IC Intuition Compressor, which is a compressor that gives you a clear and intuitive visual display that shows exactly what it is, what is happening to your audio at all times. It's very, very useful, and I use it all the time. Click the link in the description for more information. Everybody, thanks for shopping on Amazon. Apolog.ca/Amazon or Apolog.ca/US Amazon is the place to go to shop on Amazon. You can do it the old-fashioned way, too, by going to Apolog.ca, click on the banners located on your right side. Every time you shop, use all those links to shop and support the show. It costs you no extra money. And right now, everybody's shopping, and it's all getting delivered to their house, and people, like, I think the mailman is just sort of throwing it at your house, and on the way, there's some sort of disinfectant that gets sprayed over it, and then it lands on your front doorstep, clean as a whistle. Everybody, thanks for supporting me on Patreon. You can do the same thing by going to patreon.com/apolog. Pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with my hosting and gas fees. I'm not buying any gas lately. Cancel at any time. Isn't it irony that gas is so cheap but you can't drive anywhere? That's irony, right? Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Buy a t-shirt. Go to apolog.ca/shop. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and view the show on iTunes. Give it 5 stars, please. Like the show on Facebook, facebook.com/apologpod. And follow me on Twitter at simonhead666. Today on the show, I have Neil Page and Tom Gilhooly from the band Panic Problem. Neil plays guitar and sings, and Tom plays drums and sings as well. They have a new album called Just Calm Down. And we had, to me, in my opinion, one of the better conversations on this show. And it will definitely make best of. Really appreciate Tom and Neil taking the time out. You know, to talk about what's happening right now in our global climate when it comes to the coronavirus and how they're dealing with it. And there were some nice, insightful thoughts that I think came from all of this. Everybody, enjoy the show. I did. I really enjoyed doing it. Here they are, Neil and Tom from Panic Problem on the Apolog Podcast. Life in isolation, treating you guys okay?
So far, I've been very productive, actually. This I would make an argument. I would make an argument that in many regards, and I'm speaking just for me, you know, I'm very lucky in all of this, but for me, it's actually been a mildly positive experience, this whole thing, you know, and it's given me a lot of time for, like, reflection and just kind of almost like a reset in a way. I think that at least in my life anyway, It was so go, and this has forced me to stop and go, okay, well, what's actually my priority one today? What's my priority two? It actually, I'll tell you, this actually reminds me a lot of touring. Because you're stuck in a small place for most of the day with like 2 or 3 other people. You have to make sure you don't piss each other off. So you're stuck in this geography that's limited. So everyone's got to, like, you know, get in, like, okay, I'm going to actually be in the back seat and stretch out, you know, and my wife is going to be over here, and you know, and the kid's driving clearly, you know, so like that's happening, you know, but like it's a lot like touring, right? You know, so like, you know, you wake up and it's kind of monotonous. You're in a confined space for a fair portion of the day. You can't piss everybody off, and you cannot lose your shit in the voids, the spaces in between those long drive, those long straight drives,
yeah,
where you're like, all right, I'm in my headspace. I'm thinking about that person who dejected me when I was 12, and you know, all that crazy crap. You know, like so a buddy of mine once called it like the dark place. He would call people from the road on the dark place, like, dude, I'm in Tennessee. And I'm in the dark place. You got to talk to me for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone knows, you know, who's ever done anything like that, you know, knows that drill where you're like, oh, cool. You're in that weird, you know, taint of the country where it's not this center and it's not that center. It's, you know, this. And so just to stay perfectly on track there with the question, I think that this is a lot like touring, where it's just about managing your headspace.
Yeah.
You know, if you can manage your headspace, you're gonna be all right. You know.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
How about you, Tom?
Yeah. Well, nothing that dramatic.
All right.
No, interview's over. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Jesus, man. I hope you can edit that down.
Nah, man.
It's all right. It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, damn it.
You know, I can only edit things that make me look smarter. That's all I edit.
That's right. Well, that's all right. Fair enough. I'm good, man. You know, it sucks, but it's I'm pretty good. I work from home a lot of the times before this happened, so just stupid shit on a computer most of the day. So I do that. And luckily I live across the street from a liquor store.
Yeah.
So, and one block down is a weed store. And yeah. And beyond that are like three.
I leave that city and you get a weed store.
All right. No. So seriously though, you got a liquor store across the street, weed store down the street, like a block.
And there's
away.
Dominoes. And there's Dominoes.
Wow.
There's a Dominoes on the other corner. There's a McDonald's across the street from the weed store.
And there's a Chinese food place, or there was a Chinese food place, at least across the street from the Dominoes.
So it's all calories. Yeah. It's called Calorie Lane, right?
Yes. And there are three breweries within walking distance.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And they're all open during this, as far as like being able to get beer.
Yeah.
Or food, or weed, or whatever.
Jesus.
It's insane. So, not that I'm going on any binges. I'm just keeping my regular regimen going.
Yeah.
I'm just glad, you know, whatever. But so, yeah, I it's been fine. I live with my girlfriend and her mom, and we've not killed each other yet. I've thought about killing some people in the neighborhood a few times, but.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. And, you know, everyone, luckily for all the bullshit on the, you know, FaceTime and video chats and all that. Fuck, we're really lucky to have that, because even during this, you know.
Yeah.
That's
at any moment, you just reach out to your friends and say, hey, tonight at like 7:30, let's just like put on a video chat and just sit in our houses and like have a beer and just chat. And that's awesome. It's so much better. You read about the 1918 flu. Yeah. It's all like, shit, they didn't have that. They were just fucking sitting there next to, if they're lucky, a fire.
Yeah, they're like smuggling like those wax cylinders. Like, I just got the new jazz album.
Yeah.
Listen to the one song on the cone.
Yeah.
Until it melts.
Yeah, until we cough and die. And then it ends. If we can last as long as the record, get to the locker room at the end, you win. You win.
I've got a lacquer cone and a jug of ether. Let's rock this out.
Let me
my big wheel, little wheel, stationary bike.
I have a story to tell. We'll keep it short because I got about 5 minutes left on this earth.
Okay. Yeah, exactly, right?
But you know, what you're saying about the Spanish flu and everything, and it is very, you know, people didn't have that stuff back then, and that's why I think, like, you know, obviously the deaths were a lot going to be, they're not going to be as bad, but they're still as serious, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this Mother Nature's a bitch. Like, she'll come and bite you because we've done things that have created this in a way, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I to everyone out there within the sound of my voice, you know, again, if you're going through something right now, you know, you are not alone, and please find ways to reach out and find community and find, you know, find voice in this. But I also do think that if you can stay in a positive mindset about this, if that's possible, and it isn't always, but it is a good, this can potentially be a good thing for some people, where this is an opportunity, again, where, you know, maybe, you know, especially in North America, where we have a very workaholic kind of, yourself, your identity is defined by your labor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my biggest takeaways from this entire thing is, like, that's not true. That's not who I am as a person. In fact, who I am in that world couldn't be further away from who I am the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I think it's also kind of interesting because any one of those people that I work with would say that they know me up and down, and to a point they'd be correct. But, you know, this is really an opportunity for us to find breath and find space where we can actually, I mean, just take a look at the pictures of how different places around the world, because of reduced pollution, how they actually visibly look different.
Yeah.
How wildlife in different parts of this planet has returned. Yeah. That the earth in itself is, like, getting over us a little bit. And I don't want to necessarily just forget that. I don't want to let that go. I hope that can guide my actions, you know, moving forward, you know, that globally as people, but we don't necessarily think about even like a larger whole where, you know, we're all part of like a larger system, and what could it be like, it, you know, for literally everything, if we all just kind of, calm down and didn't, you know, try to trash the planet so much.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first time that everybody's had to deal with this. Like, everybody.
Right.
You walk down the sidewalk and you look at someone, you go, yep, and we're dealing with that, you're dealing with it. I mean, do you remember a couple of years ago we had the big power outage where maybe you might not have got it down that way, where the whole world, like, in this part of North America, the East Coast, just switched off.
Yeah, massive power challenges.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I lived in Toronto at the time. And the lights were out, and you look up, and there's stars. Like, you've never seen stars from the city because of all the light.
You never thought to look.
You look up, and it's like, oh, that's it's like camping, and everybody kind of was in it together, and, you know, and there was less crime. There was, even though you'd think there'd be more, it just, everything kind of went. Everybody got a little bit more granola, going, hey man, we're gonna get through this. You know, that's gonna be okay.
I definitely believe in the good in people. I think that I think that the majority of people on this planet, the vast majority of people on this planet, are good people. I think that we are extremely convenience driven, and it's in those convenience modes where we make so many compromises, and they're micro changes. They're tiny little micro changes, and you end up 180 degrees away from yourself. But you did it a half a degree at a time.
Yeah.
You never meant to get that far, you know? Every single change, you thought you'd turn back, and you didn't. And it's in these big moments like this. I mean, if you are fortunate enough to find some, you know, lack of a better term, grace in this, or some kind of clarity in this complete insanity, that this whole mess is, you know, that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. I hope everybody can find something like that. I hope, regardless of this, I hope that anybody could find that at some point in their life.
It takes a big thing for things to change, sort of in a global basis. You know, like politics and things, how things just take so long to get to a point where things are actually civil, or even just a communication between countries. Now people are just working with each other to try to fix this. And I hope, and where I work in a theater, and we're trying to figure out new ways to actually deliver art to people. And
that's so cool.
Which is neat because everybody's poised with this challenge to, and people need this. They need art. And that, unfortunately, in this type of society, art is the last thing people think is as a convenience. But it's super essential, yeah, you know. It's true. Super essential for people, for their well-being, and for their outlet. And there's a lot of, like, there's as many good things out as there is, like, you know, the on-the-nose COVID songs, you know, like, one.
Yeah,
sure.
We got to make that change and flatten that curve. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah, okay, yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah. All right, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Nice try. Good, yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm triggered. I'm taking everything I have to not like come up with some kind of crummy COVID song right now.
Yeah.
Well, I used to work with a country band up here, and we would go do these crazy festivals, and it was like everything was super duper on the nose, like you know. Yeah. So we started writing like this, the most on the nose country song. And it was sort of like, you know, when the towers came down, you know, like it was like that type of patriotism, you know, like there is a song, there is a country song, Proud to Be an American.
Oh, sure.
Holy crap.
It's like a fucking Mr. Show song. It's insane.
It really is.
It should be a fucking comedy.
It is.
It's.
Because at least I can be free.
That's really rough. That's a rough go. I actually created a fake country persona for myself.
Oh yeah.
And I actually wrote
like legit songs. Legitimate or like funny ones?
Okay, so the idea was Tom knows about Tom.
This is awesome,
and I'll tell you why this is awesome, Simon, is because our bass player couldn't make this interview, but he told me there were three things we weren't supposed to talk about. and we've covered two. We've already covered two of the three. I'm so stoked. And I didn't do it. That's the best part. And the secret best part is that he's not here.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get...
You can't say, yeah, you can't pull you in line. No, that's,
I'm happy because now I'm living out. I've reached my final form, my most true form. So I created a fake country persona, and the idea was to actually not make it funny.
Oh, okay.
The idea was to like sneak it in.
Yeah.
Get you all the way in, and then I hit you with my agenda. You know, like all the way in.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had songs like "Stick to Your Side," "I'll Stick to Mine." oh, here's a good one: "Freedom Isn't Free Except for Me."
yes.
What was the other one? Jose Cuervo Ain't Got Nothing on Me. That was a good one. There's a few of them, but yeah, like I get you in, and by the third verse, you know.
Oh wow!
By the third verse, we are up in there.
It's
and
the
we
twist.
Are making sure, you know, Planned Parenthood staying open.
Yeah.
And that you know, it's all taken care of. It's locked on, and and they're like, well, he's got a lot of good things to say, and so there's a lot of truth in that, you know. Yeah. So the idea was called The character's name is Trett Lightly. So, and it was again just like super, super duper Toby Keith, like freedom, you know, kind of stuff. and it gets everybody super into that, like that really just polished new country kind of deal. And you're too far in by the time you figure out that I've got you.
It's already, yeah. Are you familiar with Wheeler Walker Jr.?
Oh,
I don't think
Wheeler Walker Jr. is a persona of Ben Hoffman, who was did a show called the Ben Show, the Ben Hoffman Show. And okay. Wheeler Walker Jr. has three records. One record's called Redneck Shit. The other one's called Pussy King. And the third one, I can't remember what the third one is, but it's comedy because it's the same thing. It's like a couple of lines of the verse are like, yeah, fucking right. And then it's like the chorus. You're like, whoa, hold on a second. What's going on?
Yep.
He's got a song called Eating Pussy and Kicking Ass. And
that's awesome.
It's, dude, you got to check it out because
I know, I'll check it out immediately. Because that's
funny.
See, that's actually I think that's my biggest problem with like some of the like, we're going to make a joke to make a point kind of thing.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
that like you did nothing? Like, what's the, I guess my question is ultimately to everybody that does something like that, myself included, you know, is like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Is the point, are you trying to preach to the choir or are you trying to like actually get someone, are you trying to like Red Rover somebody over? To like your side. And I guess to me, you know, I think it would be far funnier to like get a bunch of people to like totally agree with you. And then it's only after the fact they're like, free healthcare for everybody, booga, booga, booga. You know, like that to me would be
like a Facebook bot. You get in there, you jump in there, and you
yes, it's so good. It's so, that's far more creative than just the easy, like, it's low-hanging fruit, I think, to just make just the joke record.
Well, what you know, he does, like, though, he actually does, like, he got produced by Sturgill Simpson's, like, producer, and he it's great sounding. And he had some real players on it. And it's sort of like, it's second generation country-ish type of thing. So Hank Williams the second kind of stuff. But he also...
Like late 70s to like mid 80s kind of
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. And you listen to it, you'll know what sort of era I'm talking about. And what he does is, as he's gone over, like gone after bands like Florida Georgia Line and New Country, and he basically starts wars with them. And he's so serious into his, he had on his show, he did the Eating Pussy and Kicking Ass, and it's just him and a harmonica player in front of people who had no idea. They're all like wearing American flag shirts and stuff. And it's on
that's
YouTube.
Awesome.
Go watch that video. Cause that's the first iteration of it. It's just him and a harmonica player. But inside so that kind of sounds like a little bit like ZZ Top. You know what I mean? Like, so it
see,
is,
I mean, that to me is like super cool. Like, I mean, ultimately, you know, I almost wonder sometimes like where like, you know, with like even like with punk stuff, like what's more terrifying? Like is it more terrifying to be anti-establishment, or is it more terrifying to be like
Good Charlotte?
No, more like, no, that's really terrifying. But actually, I'll tell you this. Those are local guys.
Yeah.
Those guys are actually from our town area world. Yeah. And I used to run a nightclub. And those guys, I will say this right now. Actually, we're doing the fourth thing I wasn't allowed to do, which is kind of a name drop,
sweet.
But that's fine.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, this is what I'll say. I will tip my hat to those dudes because they stayed after the concert. Because there were a bunch of like old school, like local fans there.
Yeah.
And they made sure every single person like got to spend some time with them. So like, I will make fun of everything, but I can't tease on them for that, you know? But what I will say is like, I think is it more terrifying to be kind of like anti-establishment, or is it even more terrifying to be like, no, we're actually going to talk about these issues and we're going to turn that into the establishment. Like, in other words, what's scarier, you know, Rage Against the Machine or this country dude that you're talking about that gets up there with like full American regalia and goes, no, actually, my America is going to be this instead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I don't know. I have to think somewhere out there, you know, somebody's got to be like totally afraid of that. You know, that It's easy. I think it's easier to write off the sort of curmudgeon-y, you know, F this, F that, screw this, screw that guy, than the you know, person that is getting up there being like, actually, this is how we're going to constructively fix this. Because you can't dismiss that person.
No.
You know, and I don't know that if I was some, you know, big generation 12 or whatever we're at country dude now, who's like, you know, freedom is great as long as it's just for me and people that look like me, you know, like, yeah. And then all of a sudden this guy's up there and he's like, you know, talking about egalitarian politics and stuff like that with the same draw, you know, with the same hook, you know. God, that would scare me shitless.
You mean a smart redneck? Is that
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which I, you know, I mean,
that's fair. Yeah,
yeah. There are smart rednecks. They're out there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The name calling's gone. You know, the easy to dismiss thing is gone, and now you actually have to deal with your shit. Like, that's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Well, it's a tricky time we live in right now when it comes to making statements, because you can easily make a statement and have nothing fundamentally or to back it up. You can just sort of make your statement and you can go, well, and somebody, I can disagree with you. You can go, yeah, okay, well, fuck you. And that's it. And then yeah. We're done. And that's what type of, that's how this world is sort of becoming
it's
now.
Weird. It's definitely a weird, it's definitely a weird time where, you know, I also think a lot of it's so insincere mm-hmm. because it's so hyperbolic. You know, like everything's at a 0 or a 10. Nothing's at like a 6.
Right.
No one reads anything on social media where it's like, I agree with 3 out of the 7 points that this person made.
Yeah.
Like no one says that. I don't say that. Yeah. You know, and everything is the most or the least, the best or the worst. Everything is the tantamount thing. And nothing is this, you know, anything less than an extreme is considered indifference. And that's just not true. And
yeah, it's not black and white. It's always shades. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's true. I mean, yeah. Like, you know. What was that expression? Even a broken clock is right twice a day, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, I think that.
Fucking grandpa.
That is a. Yeah, I'm taking that one.
I'm my green bottle beer and, you know, spinning the yarn with my. I modified Jesus. My treadmill in the back.
How are your Argyle back. Socks? Oh. Are they tight?
Shit. No, I usually. Hey, I got Argyle socks.
I bet you. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's hilarious.
I'm not wearing any socks.
Well, I tell you, working from
home. I'm in my home jail here.
Yeah.
Well, and we're allowed not to wear socks.
That's good.
Well, working from home, we have like a Zoom meeting like every day. And oh, I'm yeah, sitting yeah. here working away and I go, oh shit, I better put some pants on. Cause I'm meeting with people
you're doing the move that we're all afraid of about getting caught with. And you're actually, wow, you're flying close to the
sun. Well, I am. I'm getting to like, it's like 1 o'clock. It'll be like a 1 o'clock meeting. I'm like, it's 5 to 1. Shit. Gotta go. And
it's not the pants that everyone's afraid of. It's the boners. That's good radio.
Yeah.
What are we like? We're a few minutes in. We finally hit the boner.
There's boner talk. Yeah. 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 Hot boner talk. So anyways, you guys put a record out.
That's true.
32 minutes in.
Most of the songs are about boners.
Boners and country.
Yeah.
Country
it's
music.
It's country based boner music.
Boner music. That's from So you guys.
Punk country based boner music. I mean.
This side of whatever.
Whatever.
Wherever we're from.
Solid geography from the man with the man.
Yeah. We used to fly into little towns. They would have this thing, this hometown pride. And it was like, it was always the biggest thing that isn't everywhere else. Like, you know, you know, like in Alberta, we land and it's like Grand Prairie, which is, this is the largest city in Canada. This side of this line and that side of this line and this side. I'm like, you're basically putting it into a 30 kilometer Square. So yeah, you are the biggest city in Canada. So
I love those weird little things that like tick it down. Like it starts with the biggest statement, and like four words later, we get to the nugget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like actually, it's not the biggest ball of twine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the biggest twined ball.
Yes. Because the biggest ball of twine is three states over. And that's it's true. Actually burnt down. So technically, we are the biggest ball of twine.
This one time, I was in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. I'm in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, and it was a lovely place. I'm not talking poorly about the town, but just this to kind of dovetail what you're saying here, my friend and I went to the Popcorn Museum.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, popcorn. Yeah. Not bad for a museum that also is the post office. Not bad.
You can make a money order and you can get some popcorn and you look around. Yeah.
You mail popcorn to all your friends.
Yeah. Well, it's not a museum, but it is a factory. We went to the Ben and Jerry's ice cream factory. If you've ever been there, that's a joy.
Sure.
You wait and you get your place to get into the thing, and you're in the tour for like 3.5 minutes. And then you sort of takes you down and they go, oh, here's some ice cream, check it out. And then you're out. And you're like, really? That's not worth it. I want more. Yeah. Give me some ice.
Got it.
I want down there where the guys wearing the hazmat suits were making ice cream. I want to be in there.
This one time on tour, we went to the Pez Museum. Which is like the Pez factory where they make all the Pez.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in Connecticut, yeah. I think. I don't remember exactly, but we went there. And I forgot a picture because I definitely was there, but it wasn't open, so we just like slept in the van.
That's a terrible story.
That's my big Pez story. Stay in school, kids.
There used to be it was a oversized go kart track chain in the States called Formula One. And they're Formula One go-karts, and they're like open-wheeled race car, scaled-down race cars. And
you
would get your license, and then everywhere you went, you could go to these places and then, you know, go race these cars. And we're like, these things are fucking fast. And I almost had the track record. And if you win the track record, you get like something. I think you could get a hat or something. So I'm like, got the track record, and I'm like, this is amazing. And then this garage door opens up, and this guy comes out, and it's one of the... It's one of the fast cars, and the kid goes and kills my time. And I'm like, I don't get a hat because this guy actually flew out and ran around the track.
He goes, no,
he got the fastest track time. I said, but it's you threw it. Like, this is unbelievable. But
you go, hey, give me mine, and then give him one.
Yeah.
In the continuity of time and space. I did for a moment have the record.
And someone had a videotape of it, and they videotaped us, like the camera, and they taped us going around. And you feel like you think you're like fucking hitting these corners and G-force. And then you see the video, it's like,
It's like you're riding a fast bicycle.
It felt faster. It felt way more intense.
These towns with like bumper boats and all of that stuff, like they have the same tilt-a-whirl they've had since like 1978.
Yeah.
Like two of the cars are broken. They don't ever stop, you know, and you're just like, yeah, that's the tooth chipper. You got to get on that if you want to. Yeah. That stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Have you guys, as this band has toured, you've toured or you've toured in other bands?
We've toured in other bands. We've only played really like a handful of shows with Panic Problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, We're really fucking gung ho for 2020. It's not looking great right now. So we were like, all right. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, we were supposed to have do a record release. We were playing a show with Dave House and the Mermaid and the Explosion, and we were going to use that show as our record release.
Right.
And basically that show was like
a day,
the week. That they started closing things down, and then it got to the, like the day before, and they were like, "No, the show's canceled. All the shows are canceled."
Yeah.
So right now we're just like, well, fuck it. We'll just put it out, and we're trying to, you know, just make sure people hear it. just trying to, you know, reach out to people, do interviews, and, you know, try to just spread the word. And
but as soon hopefully, as we
hopefully, yeah, as soon as we can get out of this shit and everyone else can, then, yeah, you know, we're fucking stoked to go play your neighborhood.
For live music, that even our Tuesday shows on that tour will be just nuts.
Yeah, best Tuesdays ever.
At the public. Ah! You know, just like just losing their minds.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, my theater, we just put this little teaser out because we're doing this live performance thing on Thursday, tomorrow. And it got so many hits because people in this theater, they're used to seeing, like, we do like 380 shows a year. And we've done none in like 4 weeks, and and it is crazy, and people are just like salivating for something, anything, you know what I mean? And that's and it comes back to that. That's why there's all these horrible COVID songs, like, you know, you got a call to action, you know, like those type of songs.
I mean, everyone's just all like, well, fuck it, let's just put out anything.
I even wrote two songs. I wrote two songs. Like, I haven't written songs in like 5 years. It's crazy.
I feel you.
I wrote my COVID song.
I started writing down lyrics for the first time in a really long time. And I was all like, God damn it.
Is it COVID based?
No, it is not. Mm. It's more madness based, which I guess is
pretty good band. They were pretty good.
No, not
One Step Beyond.
But a direct directly related to being stuck inside all goddamn day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, like, you know, we recorded this shit, you know, I guess it was like all summer, I guess, or a couple different sessions.
Yeah.
Last year.
It was two
summer and fall.
Year.
And we were so excited, you know, we finally got it pressed on vinyl and we're putting out ourselves, and we were like, well, shit, this is fucking, let's go do this. And then everything shut down. It was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fuck it, man. You know, it's just, it's not our fault. It's no one's fault. Like, it's just, you know, if you can listen to it, and we'll play some shows. And I fucking love Canada, and
yes,
I've played a bunch of shows there. It's been a really long time, but yeah, hopefully Panic Problem will come up there and play a bunch of shows.
Yeah. Well, I have the record here. Is there a song you want to, a couple of songs we can play during this if you want?
Ooh.
What do you want to do? Got the whole thing.
Ooh.
I'll let Neil choose.
Choice. Go ahead. You're up.
Oh, okay. Go, Tom, your choice.
Oh, my choice.
Yeah.
Shit. Let's go with The Grind. I think, I think that is a lot of what we feel right now, is that grind. And it's well, Neil, you can tell them what it's about, but the short version is it's about the fucking grind that we all do, that we all go through.
It's not about coffee? That's
that more or less.
And yet,
but yeah, it's kind of about coffee. It's kind of about all the shit you got to fucking deal with.
Gotcha.
It really is. And, you know, for all of you listening at home, you're in luck because this song is absolutely incredible.
I'm in Baltimore across the street from the liquor store.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We covered that.
I'm in Southern Pennsylvania across from the KKK. And it's,
across from a farmer and...
it's the fucking worst, man.
Yeah.
How I went north. I went north.
Into and a
I
weirder...
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. That's a weird part. You know, it's I've toured my whole life and never did a show in Baltimore for some reason. Never did. Yeah, not one. Right. Not one.
Oh, you're missing out. We would have talked so much shit on you. It would have been incredible.
Well, yeah, well,
A lot of bands skip Baltimore because it goes Philly to DC.
Yeah,
like when you're trying to book tours on the East Coast, you know, when you're going, it usually goes like Boston, maybe a Connecticut show, and then New York, Philly. DC, Richmond. Yeah, if you're lucky, Richmond or down to the Carolinas. But Baltimore gets skipped a lot. I don't think it's like anything personal. I think it's just the way the fucking...
Is it the schedule, scene or is it just...
No, I think it might just be the way the schedule's built. Like when you're coming down the East Coast, for me, I feel like there's got to be enough bands that when you're booking tours that you're like, well, we could play in Baltimore.
No. <laughs> Fuck it.
Let's just go. You know, if we just go another hour south, we're already in D.C.
Yeah. That's true. I felt the same way about Atlanta. Atlanta, like, well, do we need to play Atlanta? There's nothing. What's there? Just weirdness in Atlanta.
I'll tell you.
There's that long drive from like the Carolinas down to Atlanta, down to Florida. Like, you know,
the hidden gem of Georgia is Savannah.
Oh.
Yes, Savannah, Athens,
Savannah, Georgia. Hand of God is the greatest. Hidden, they are so hungry for everything. The music there is great. Everything is cheap. It's nothing but art schools.
It's hot. It's too hot, man.
It's very muggy.
It's too fucking hot, man.
Very muggy. Yeah. They got the red dirt there, nice, too, though.
It's nice, though. Yeah, it's spooky. They got the moss hanging from the trees.
Yeah, they got those iron things.
What? I don't know what that is.
The iron railings.
Wrought iron?
Like railings and fences.
Yeah. Wrought iron.
Yeah, old-timey stuff.
And they have a ton of cemeteries, so it's...
They're all like, a lot of them are above ground.
Yeah, because of the wetlands.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Actually, I'll tell you this. My father worked for years protecting wetlands. You did very well. That's actually true.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I do know that there's golf. A lot of golf in Georgia. That's what I do know.
Yeah, that's true.
That goes with the Sox. That's why we're talking about the Sox. But being older guys and being in music, do you have like here's a real question. I'm going to give you a question. You ready?
Oh, here we go.
You ready? No, like being old guys in music and understanding one's place in the big scene or the big plan, does it take a lot of pressure out of just being a musician? It must, right? Just being yourself and not worrying about like making it, worried about like,
I get what you mean. Yeah, I think so. Like I think back in the day, like in our late teens, early 20s, it was like, you know, you had to do anything and everything. Right. So there was that part of it. But there was also the part where like, shit, you got to dress a certain, like you felt like, I know, and you know, some of the bands, it was like, all right, we got to dress a certain way, you know, we got to look. Yeah. I don't know if we ever thought about like a planned look but I mean, back when in one of the bands, the Smooths, like, you know, there was a moment where we're like, yeah, we'll just all wear black. Like that was a conscious decision, right? You know, that sort of thing. It was all like, 'cause it'll look cool on stage and we got to do this. And if we're going to go, you know, we should definitely talk to these particular people, you know, when you go through this town, you want to talk to these people, you want to play with these bands, you want to look this way. And, you know, there was a lot of that younger. And now it's like, there's, you're right. There's zero pressure. I don't give a fuck if anybody likes it. When we play shows, I don't get nervous anymore at all. Like I was lucky enough to fucking play in front of crowds of like 25,000-30,000 people at like festivals and shit. And it's like, so what, you know, now 20 years later, it's like, what, mentally I've taught myself, like, why would you be afraid of anything now?
Yeah.
And it goes for shows, being in bands, and just life in general for me. Like, even like my bullshit office job and the regular work and meeting with, you know, clients and business people and CEOs, like, you know, those are the things that you're taught on television and like throughout, you know, you're like, oh, you got the boss man. It's like, no, I don't give a fuck who you are. Yeah. I try to approach my life fairly fearlessly, you know, because of what I've done in music. Even though I've never been a major star, you know, but I've had some moments where I played in front of thousands of people and it felt that way. So it gives me the inner confidence to be like, well, fuck you if you don't like what I'm doing or saying now. Yeah. I'm just being myself with my friends.
I think it's more of, you know, I want to make sure that I think if anything, the only thing that's really changed, because I totally agree with Tom, is just the presence of time. So like these moments are so precious now, you know, to play in front of people are so precious. That people come, that people show up is a huge privilege and so cool. And I think that kind of drives me to try and, you know, play the best that I can, or try to give them something that's memorable, or try to, not necessarily write a song that's like relatable, you know, because then you end up with that like sort of vanilla. So, you know, if you try to make it to everybody, you're going to miss everybody, you know, but you try to be, to Tom's point, you try to be honest. And I think with this band, you know, yeah, like again, like previous bands like that I had been in, you know, yeah, you know, you have the record deal, you play the Warped Tour, you do all these like cool things, you're playing with all these big bands, you know, but are you being genuine? Are you being honest?
That's huge. Are you
thinking about that everybody who showed up paid money to see you? You know, and can you be honest in that moment without letting that sort of thing become pressure, you know? Can you respect that enough to deliver honesty, you know? And I think that's something that we all try to do in Panic Problem. We certainly are being honest. You know, the song is about, or the band is about, mental health issues and kind of dealing with them in an honest way. And the band is about cutting the shit behind mental health and mental health conversation, but not losing honesty and humor and the joy and tears and hilarity that comes with all of that. You know, I mean, being quote unquote crazy is actually pretty fucking funny. It's, you know, and no one who isn't quote unquote crazy, which by the way, most of y'all motherfuckers that are listening to this are fucking crazy. Okay. trust me. I think that, you know, everyone who has some shit going on in their life with mental shit knows that they have something going on. They're not like lost. It's not like they're not there, you know, like even people who have really extreme mental challenges have moments of lucidity where they are completely aware of what the fuck is going on with their shit. I just think that, to your point, you know, with getting older and being older in the scene, and you see these, you know, younger bands, and you feel the presence of time. I think the only pressure I feel is just to myself, to just not waste time, to just cut the shit, have the most fucking fun that I can with my two friends.
Yeah.
And everybody who wants to come and have a lot of fun with three dudes that want to sweat and get weird in some place.
What?
And sing about shit that you're already thinking. You know, that's a panic problem show.
Yeah.
That's what we're about. That's a panic problem record. That's what we're about. This is just being straight up, having fun, cutting the shit, and making sure that we aren't wasting their time, and most importantly, ours, our time.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it when you said about honesty. Honesty is a huge thing, and as you get older, you start sniffing bullshit better. Mm-hmm. You have a better sense of bullshit. And you also have a better understanding of time management, because you're not just sitting on a couch or surfing and on a couch and touring in a van. You got like mortgage payments and kids and another life that has nothing to do with music. So therefore now music, what used to be like a gotta make it, gotta do it, gotta make it, turned into, you know what, my priorities are in different spaces now. I don't need to, I need music and art to fulfill me, but it's not going to be the all-encompassing me, which ultimately makes the music better, because you know, you're not worried about making the next hit or being Bon Jovi. You
know? Yeah.
I mean, and you know, thank God for Amazon Prime and Netflix, because there's enough rock docs out there now. You go like, Jesus, thank God I'm not Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
God, the sock dude. Like I don't know. I'm just thinking.
I ran out of stuff to watch on Netflix.
Dude, but you know.
Yeah. I'm watching, like, we watched last night, my wife and I, we were like flipping around, and we watched a K-pop festival, because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like ding ding and dong dong, and it's like the songs are like just,
people are so into that.
They are into, yeah. And it was a football stadium full of kids, like, yeah, woo! And it was like,
shit is crazy.
So we watched it, and we're like, okay, let's see what the next outfits are. Oh, they all look like Sailor Moons. Okay, you know, but so I've officially run out of things to watch on Netflix. So I got to start worrying about rewatching now. But you know, to you know, the thing about that, there's so much things out there to view. It's sort of now you can bring it around and start, you know, like you just brings it all around to the start where we were talking about reflection and becoming a better you know, a better housemate. You know, like I'm learning. You know, I have two teenagers and a wife, and we kind of keep our distance at times because we know and we can understand that this is time to do my thing and you go do your thing, you know.
Can I ask you two questions?
Sure.
And then I'm going to ask you a lot more questions, but first two questions. So the what is the Conservative Party called in Canada? I'm a shitty American, so I don't know that.
It's the Progressive Conservative.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Fucking sneaky.
Oh, that's tricky. Is it progressive just because it's Canadian?
They
like,
mostly.
Like,
mostly. They're like, well, we don't like people, but
yeah.
You know, we still want to be nice about it.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
We're gonna tax you harder. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean to ask some other
polite assholes.
Older punks this, and I need to know, are you and your wife terrified that your kids are going to turn out to be like establishment conservatives because they're rebelling against you? Like, because I'm stressed out about that. Like, that's something I'm stressed out about. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have like the fucking Alex P. Keaton kid.
Yeah.
Who's like, no. You know, like, no, Reagan was really great. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like.
You know, in all honesty, great family ties reference, by the way. My view on my kids is that I'm okay if you want to rebel against, you know, me, because personally, I didn't navigate my way through teenagehood that well. No one does. You know what I mean? Yeah, no one does. And they seem to, my son's 17. He seems to have it. He has it figured out. And just with musical tastes. And I don't know if this is, I don't want to generalize of all teenagers, but my son, he loved like Green Day when he first started listening to music. It's all hip hop now. You know why? Because I'm not a big fan of hip hop. I don't like it. It's not my thing. I like old school hip hop. I like, you know, Ghetto Boys, N.W.A. But he likes the stuff that you're like, are you fucking kidding me? What the hell are you listening to?
Yeah.
And that is genetics. That's like kids are not supposed to listen to records with their dads. Hey, I just got this new record. Let's hang out. You're my best friend. Boo. You know, teenagers and adults are not supposed to be friends. You know, there's a time when the teenager becomes an adult and then you can say, whoa, we had a tough time there, you know, and I know I did. And I know we all did. We all had issues and parental things.
Yeah,
and we got through it, you know what I mean? And that's okay. And I've said this 1,000 times. I said, if my son becomes a lawyer or a doctor and not a punk rocker that sits in a van and dumpster dives, I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay. How about you?
It's totally rad. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I've got two groups of friends. I've got friends that have kids that are in their teenage years, and I've got friends that are in my boat where it's like they're all 2-year-olds and like fetuses and shit. Mm. So like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, and again, I overanalyze everything. So I have to, like, you know, I have like 30 different, like, you know, little pathways that, like, you know, my brain goes down. And like I've always wondered that about, like, because, like, okay, like, for example, like, you know, like, you look at, like, you know, like, huge, like, gigantic, like, punk rockers, you know, like, fucking, like, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong, Fat Mike, like, all these fucking dudes that have, like, teenage kids or, like, kids that are in their early fucking 20s, and I'm going, like, Jesus, are these the new fucking Republicans? But they're not, you know, like, it's not, but it's, like, you wouldn't judge them. You wouldn't like be like you'd be like, well, that makes fucking sense because, you know, dad was this, so therefore that, like, you know, it's just something I've always wondered about punks in general is like, are we accidentally breeding the new thing that we were against? I don't know.
No, I think Tom touched on it earlier. Tom said you said something like, I'm working with CEOs and working, you are the new businessman. You grew up in punk rock. And I've met so many people that are around our age that run major companies or .coms or startup companies. And they started off being a shitty punk rocker who did shitty punk rock things. They toured in a shitty punk rock van. And then they realized, you know what? I'm not interested in being a shitty punk rocker anymore, because people grow up, their brains become more developed, and they start realizing, I've been taking from society my whole life. It's time to start putting stuff back in.
And that's why everybody hates SLC Punk. It's not a bad movie. We just didn't like being told about ourselves. It's literally the entire reason why everybody hates SLC Punk. It's because the movie was like dead fucking on. You're like, God damn, fuck you. You know,
fucking dick. I truly think, though, as you come out of, like, because we, you know, like, I toured all over North America as a 20-year-old something person, and I became disconnected from my whole family for, like, probably 5 or 6 years. But it made the return sweeter, because I went out and did my own thing. I enjoyed myself. I had so much fun. I almost died a few times. And I came back a smarter person. I came back with more perspective about what real life's all about. You know,
I recommend that if everybody can almost die, they should. Because now, careful.
Yeah.
because it's tricky. Mm. But I have certainly almost died at least twice, and I have to tell you that almost dying really helps you live.
Mm.
It really does give you a bit of mental clarity there, where it's like, you know, I really do appreciate, these things. It could be something as dumb as like, I really like grilled cheese sandwiches. Grilled cheese is goddamn delicious. Thank goodness for grilled cheese. But it's funny because I said this before and I'll say it again. A friend of mine, my day job is sales, and
he's a clown balloon salesman.
Ooh,
is what he does.
Super clown balloon.
You have to wear the nose.
My work. I'm like, they're like, oh, we need a sales guy for this, or we need a sales guy for that. I'm like, you need to hire a punk.
Yeah.
You hire a punk rocker. And they don't listen. And I'm like, you guys are fucking up. No, and I get it. It's okay. They need a certain level of somebody. What they don't understand is that the level of DIY aesthetic that goes into punk, the can-do attitude, like, let me tell you something, like, somebody who knows how to, like, close, like, a low Q4, for a company. Like, cool.
You're so losing people right now.
Nobody. The van is overheated, and this guy at the gas station wants to touch my bandmate. Like, that person, whoever that person is, they've handled high-pressure situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they know how to navigate interpersonal relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Like, DIY touring musicians are the most savvy, squirrely, just toughest individuals out there. And I don't care what genre of music you play. If you're out there and you're actually moving around the world, doing your thing, making it work for yourself as best you can, you have far more gumption and determination than anybody else, and you are a perfectly suited individual for most facets in life.
Yeah.
I actually, I wish that more people went out and did what we all do, because it would really give you perspective about the important things, like,
how many sandwiches you can make from a loaf of bread
and
dollars worth of bologna.
Good diner's French fries.
Yeah.
Like, really, where they're like, there's the short one and it's kind of clear. Yeah. It's a little clear.
Where the best Thai food is. It's stuff like
that. Yeah. There you go.
Important stuff, yeah.
There you go.
The best way to have your hash browns at fucking Waffle House.
Yeah, there you go. I do miss
Waffle House. Those are the things that you have to know.
Yeah.
How about this one? How to not buy roofies by accident in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, sure. That's one
you should. Weirdo, sketchy drug dealer. And then, be like, you look up what kind of drugs he's selling on the internet and you go, ew, you're a roofie salesperson. You're the worst person in the world. You're literally the worst person in the world.
The roofie salesman had a website?
No, you
wow, that's impressive. Drug,
dude. You figure it out. You use
you're telling me the drug dealer that you met in Columbus, Ohio had a Wikipedia page?
Ooh,
no, this is fascinating. His drugs had their own Wikipedia page. Did he bring out an iPad and show you this while you were buying drugs?
How do you spell roofies.com? Is it R?
Ew, this is not how it's supposed to go. We're going another way from this.
Well, let's hear a song. Let's hear another song.
Anyone going roofies?
Let's hear a song. Speaking of roofies, what can we do? Work sucks in general. How about that one?
Oh yeah, God, there you go, doesn't ever.
Yeah.
hearing a really weird story about that song.
Yeah, yeah, tell it.
Really weird story about that song.
Do it.
I don't know if it's weird.
All right. So we're going to go back to we haven't talked about religion yet, but this is the fourth thing we were supposed to do is like name drop shit, but like, okay. I don't care. So basically, I'm a huge, I don't care what anybody says, like I'm a huge Bouncing Souls fan. I grew up on the East Coast of the U.S., you know, grew up with the Soul.
Goodness.
Best, love that band. And anyway, you know, Tom and Jeff toured with the Souls back in the day, and we ended up recording this record with Pete from the Souls, which is just, for me, a dream come true. It's totally amazing. And, you know, definitely like a big life event. And so I think, you know, my favorite thing about punk rock is that there's no like absolute, like if you're around enough and you're not like some creep, you know, or something nuts, you know, there's a strong chance that in some form or fashion you're gonna like meet people that you think are totally rad, you know. There's a chance, you know. So we ended up doing this record with Pete, which is amazing. And you know, I'm like, you know, doing the whole like, oh, don't be like fanboy, like don't freak out, you know. And like we're in the Cage's Great House, like that's where Little Eden Studios is. And it's like, you know, if you're a Bouncing Souls fan, like this is like a big deal. Like, there's like Bouncing Souls memorabilia just like lying around. It's just like you like look over there and you're like, oh, that's like that album cover is a painting, and it turns out it's like in the corner. Like it's just super rad, like totally cool shit. So anyway, we get into the studio and you know, I'm just like, you know, sitting awkwardly, you know, in the corner, you know, trying not to be like a weirdo. And I'm totally ruining it from being a total weirdo. And Pete turns around and he's got this like jug of like cheese balls, like those like, you know, from the store cheese balls, you know, dusty cheese balls. And he's like, hey man, these cheese balls aren't going to eat themselves. And that was my big moment. That's like my big, you know, it's like my guitar hero. This is like a guy that like, you know, it's like my top three favorite guitarists. He's probably my like number one guitarist, like, you know, that's had an impression on me in my life.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, who's like the, you know, greatest dude in the world is like, you know, hey man, you want some cheese balls with me? that's that whole thing. And that's that song in a nutshell.
I am.
Yeah. He did not. So for some of these songs, I had never heard the lyrics. So until we got into the studio. So when I had to sing backups on things, I would be like, oh, that's what you say. And then we got to this song. And there, you'll notice there's the harmony right to the end. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck did you write? And they're like, these cheese balls won't eat themselves. That's the end of the song. And you'll listen to it now. And you'll be listening to that song and be like, oh, this is badass. This is fucking great. What's this message? What is this fucking big thing? What are we singing along to? And at the end, it's just these cheese balls won't eat themselves.
Sounds great.
Well, it's funny. See, the whole point of that song is about secret lives, and you know, it's just the truth. Fucking truth. And like, we all lead these like professional lives, and we're all these fucking suits. And meanwhile, on the weekend, I'm this dude in a basement in New Jersey, in like my fucking like fantasy, and this dude who is like the coolest dude ever is like, hey man, these cheese balls won't eat themselves. Like that's like that, like I don't know, I mean, like that's, to me, that's life. Like that's like you know, it's those little moments that you hold on to with two hands, you know, like and it's almost fun, it's almost funny in a way, like what did I expect out of that interaction? You know, what was there going to be some big soliloquy Was there going to be some big moment?
Yeah.
You know, no, it was a dude with cheese balls in a basement in New Jersey being like, hey, man, I'm going to have a bite. You know, so I don't know. You know, it's just, you know, but that's life. That, like, you know, life isn't, they're not these big dramatizations. They're not these big, you know, Hollywood endings. It's really just a series of really intimate moments that mean so much to somebody, you know, I would rather relive that experience a million fucking times than some big, you know, bullshit moment that, you know, anybody can just glom onto, you know, like that, like, how cool is it that somebody that, you know, is so cool is sharing shitty Costco bar snacks with you? Like, that's awesome. It's fucking rad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's way cooler than like what were we going to eat? You know, like sushi. What was it going to be? No, it's balls. Perfect.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
I have two Bouncing Souls story, and I'll share one with you. When Bouncing Souls were in Vancouver, I was working for SNFU doing sound, and Bouncing Souls, and the venue we were playing was in a university, and the sound guy was being a fucking asshole, like being the worst. So Bouncing Souls, I can't remember who came and said, hey, would you mind mixing our sound? I'm sure, no problem. So I mixed the opening, they opened for them, and they were fucking amazing. And at the end, who was playing bass at the time? He gave me a pair of shoes. He goes, what size are you? I'm like, size 9. He goes, here, you can have these shoes. I just got them. And they're like those cruiser, like kind of like fucking cruiser kind of shoes, like with the leopard skin thing. And I'm like,
yeah.
Cool. So I got a pair of shoes for free for mixing Bouncing Souls. That's
nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's a moment where like, I never even thought of that until you start speaking about Bouncing Souls. I'm like, yeah. Those guys are fucking amazing. Great band. Yeah,
that shit to me, that's the thing to me that like makes like punk rock and punk so fucking cool. Like you can be somebody like I grew up in a nobody town. You know, like just a small town in rural Maryland, but it had a punk scene.
Yeah.
It had a punk scene. Everybody who didn't fit in was in the scene. So there were kids who didn't even listen to punk music. They were into like, you know, goth shit and Marilyn Manson and shit like that. But they were in the scene. They were in the scene because
they were weirdos. They like
didn't fit anywhere else. That was the punk scene of my town. And everybody who stuck with it has gone on to do amazing things from that town.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing things from that town. And I love that about our genre of music and our scene, our global scene, that, you know, there's so many things in this life that are barricades to you fulfilling yourself or you, you know, realizing something or being a part of something. And it's so cool to be a part of a real community and part of something that, you know, allows you to participate and to meet people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing. I hope everybody can find something like, you know, what I found and what I think we've all found, you know, in life. I, you know, fuck it, country music. I hope that's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I wish they were a little more, you know, pro everybody, but, you know, rad, you know, go do that, you know, hip hop, fucking whatever some kind of genre of music that I'm out of touch with. I hope that happens.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I do know that the lines aren't as, there aren't as defined anymore. They're more sort of like crossing over because of the quickness of what people want and
sure.
The speediness of how they can get it. So my son can listen to this, he'll listen to that. My, you know, they have no like, I'm a punker, I'm a meddler, I'm a goth, yeah. I'm a mod, I'm a rocker. There's no real lines drawn in the sand, really. I live sort of rurally, so I don't really see like, but I'll see like there's a dude with a mohawk and he's walking around the town, and where this town was 20 years ago, that guy gets shit kicked out. Like it would be bad. But now there's sort of a general like, yeah, there's that guy. He's flying his freak flag. Yeah, that freak flag. That freak flag. That's amazing. Go for it. You know?
Right?
But
and that's a step. That's a big fucking step. And I'd like to think that we all had something to do with that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's fucking cool that like that shit's out there that way. I mean, like everything. I think that, you know, I think my biggest love of punk in general is just the idea of like cutting the shit. Cut the shit. Just like fuck it. Just cut the shit. You know, like Tom said, like, you know, like give a fuck who you are. Cut the shit.
Yeah.
You know? And if that can get, you know, people who are typically marginalized equal rights, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. If it can get a dude to not get his ass kicked because he just wants to wear his hair a fucking way, that's awesome. You know? Take your pick, you know? I think it's cool to... I hope that there's as many things as possible that can move that needle that way. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we all have one life to live. You should be able to live it however you want without judgment or fear of reprisal from some weirdo, you know, superstition. You know, like that, because that's... Ultimately, that's what all those isms, you know, are, is some weirdo superstition, you know, and if we can remove that or mitigate that or destroy that, that's I call that a win.
Yeah.
We did our job, and we can go and eat, you know, shitty diner food and listen to, you know, more Descendants records and kick ass. That's we did, we win. We can retire.
That's a great way to end it. I swear to God, like this is one of the nicer conversations I've had with guys who have a nice, a brilliant view on and a realistic view about what music is and how it affects them as people. It's been a fucking honor. Thank you,
dude.
Oh,
shit, thanks for having us, man. It's been just fun to, like I said, it's awesome to be able to. Just like, holy shit, there's another God.
Yes.
So cool. I swear to God, last night I talked to another fucking guy I had never seen before.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Anytime you guys want to be on the show, it is the door's open. I really did enjoy it. The record's great. I'll play more songs and let people know and come to Canada.
Fuck yeah, dude. Thanks so much.
Look forward to playing with you. Can't fucking wait.
And that was Tom and Neil from Panic Problem. Nicely paced. Everybody, that was probably, one of my favorite ones, like I said, at the start of the show. And thanks, Tom, and thanks, Neil, for doing this show. I really, like I said, made it easy. Good dudes. Can't wait for you guys to come up to Canada and play a show. But you have to wash your hands first. Everybody wash your hands. That's the rules. Everybody has to do that. I am actually doing my part. I don't know if you can hear, but in the background, I have three 3D printers whirring away, building these little headbands for they're like ear protectors for masks. And I'm shipping them away. I'm building 200 and making 200 and something of them, and I'm sending them out to the east end of Ontario for one of the clients at the theater who is building masks and hats for the emergency response workers. Yeah, it feels good, and it's noisy. Can you hear it? That's what it sounds like in here, and it drives my family crazy. But then they say, hey, it's too noisy. I go, hey, listen, I'm saving the world. You can't get mad at me because I'm helping the universe. I'm putting in. So screw you, family. Deal. What can I say? The last episode of Homeland was on last night, and I don't know if y'all watched it, but I think you should watch it because it was incredible. That whole series is incredible. Loved it. Always loved Claire Danes. What can I say now? So everybody, wash your hands. Enjoy your week. And I can't believe we're in like week 5 of this isolation. Talk to you soon.